Chapter 28. The watchers were there when Alcad M'Zu arrived at the shoreline of Tranquility's circumfluous saltwater sea. As always, they remained several hundred meters behind, innocuous fellow hikers enjoying the balmy evening, even a couple on horses trekking along the wilder paths of the habitat. She counted eight of them as she walked along the top of the steep, rocky escarpment to the path which led down to the beach. This cove was one of the remoter stretches of the northern shoreline, a broad curve of silver-white sand 2 kilometers long, with jutting headlands of polyp rock cliffs. Several small islands were included within the bay's sweeping embrace, tenanted by willowy trees and a fur of colourful wild flowers. A river emptied over the escarpment 200 meters from the path where she stood, producing a foaming waterfall which fell into a rock pool before draining away over the sands. Overhead, the giant habitat's light tube had languished to an apricot ember strung between its end-cap hubs. Vitric water caught the final rays to produce a soft-focused copper shimmer across the wavelets. Alcad picked her way carefully along the shingle-strewn path. An accident now would be the ultimate irony, she thought. There was the familiar nagging ache in her left leg, exacerbated by the rough incline. Her retinal implants located a pair of adolescent lovers in the dunes at the far end of the beach. Craving solitude amid the deepening shadows, their dark entwined bodies were oblivious to the world and nearly invisible. The girl's baby blonde hair provided a rich contrast to her ebony skin, while the boy reminded Alcad of Peter as he stroked and caressed his willing partner. An omen, though Alcad M'Zu no longer really believed in deities. She reached the warm, dry sands and adjusted the straps of her lightweight backpack. It was the one she had brought with her to the habitat 26 years ago. It contained the cagoule and flask and first aid kit, which she carried unfailingly on every ramble through the interior. By now the routine of her hike was scribed in stone. If she hadn't worn it, the intelligence agencies would have been suspicious. Alcad cut across the dunes at an angle, aiming for the middle of the beach, her feet leaving light imprints on the powdery sand. 3 watchers made their way down the path behind her. The rest carried on walking along the top of the escarpment. And, a recent development this, a couple of Tranquility sergeants stood impassively at the foot of the escarpment beside the waterfall. She only saw them against the craggy polyp because of their infrared emission. They must have been positioned there in anticipation of her route. It wasn't entirely unexpected. Tranquility would have informed Ione Saldana about all those agency-teasing meetings with starship captains. The girl was erring on the side of caution, which was quite acceptable. She did have the rest of the population to think about, after all. Alcad peered ahead, out over the huge grey valley of water to the southern shore, searching. There, to the right, 20 degrees up the curve. The Laymill Project campus was a unique splash of opal light on the darkened terraces of the southern end cap. Such a shame, really, she thought with a tinge of regret. The work had been an interesting challenge, interpreting and extrapolating Xenoc technology from mere fragments of clues. She had made friends there, and progress, and now the whole campus was animated with the discovery of the Laymill sensorium memories that young Scavenger had found. It was an exciting time to be a project researcher, full of promise and reward. In another life she could easily have devoted herself to it. Alcad reached the water's edge as the light tube cooled to a smirched platinum. Ripples sighed contentedly against the sand. Tranquility really was a premier place to live. She shrugged out of her backpack, then touched the seal on her boots and started to pull them off. Samuel, the Edenist intelligence operative, was 6 meters from the foot of the scarp path when he saw the lone figure by the water bend over to take her boots off. That wasn't part of the humdrum formula which governed M'Zu's activities. He hurried after Pauline Webb, the CNIS second lieutenant, who had reached the beach ahead of him. She dithered in the grove of palm trees which huddled along the base of the escarpment, debating whether to break cover and walk openly on the sands. "It looks like she's going for a swim," she said. Pauline gave him a cursory nod. the CNIS and the Edenists cooperated to a reasonable degree in their observation.